Chapter 60. "You see, it has a little light that comes on to show you where the keyhole is," said the salesman, pointing to the ignition switch on the dashboard. "Oh, Johnny, see that!" Hetty gushed. But Johnny DeLange had his head under the bonnet of the big, glossy Ford Mustang. "Why don't you sit in her?" the salesman suggested. He was very cute, really, Hetty decided, with dreamy eyes and the most fabulous sideburns. "Oh, yes, I'd love to." She manoeuvred her bottom into the leather bucket seat of the sports car. Her skirt pulled up, and the salesman's dreamy eyes followed the hem all the way. "Can you adjust the seat?" Hetty asked innocently, looking up at him. "Here, I'll show you." He leaned into the interior of the Mustang and reached across Hetty's lap. His hand brushed over her thigh, and Hetty pretended not to notice his touch. He smelled of Old Spice aftershave lotion. "That's better," Hetty murmured, and wriggled into a more comfortable position, contriving to make the movement provocative and revealing. The salesman was encouraged. He lingered with his wrist just touching a sleek thigh. "What's the compression ratio on this model?" Johnny DeLange demanded as he emerged from the engine, and the salesman straightened up quickly and hurried to join him. An hour later, Johnny signed the purchase contract, and both he and Hetty shook the salesman's hand. "Let me give you my card," the salesman insisted. But Johnny had returned to his new toy, and Hetty took the cardboard business card. "Call me if you need anything." "Anything at all," said the salesman with heavy significance. "Dennis Langley, sales manager," Hetty read out aloud. "My, you're very young to be sales manager."
"Not all that young."
"I'll bet," Hetty murmured, and her eyes were suddenly bold. She ran the tip of a pink tongue over her lips. "I won't lose it," she promised, and placing the card in her handbag, walked to the Mustang, leaving him with a tantalizing promise and a memory of swaying hips and clicking heels. They raced the new Mustang as far as Potchefstroom, Hetty encouraging Johnny to overtake slower vehicles with inches to spare for oncoming traffic. With horn blaring, he tore over blind rises, forking ringed fingers at the protesting toots of other drivers. They had the speedometer registering 120 miles per hour on the return run, and it was dark as they pulled into the driveway, and Johnny hit the brakes hard to avoid running into the back of a big black Daimler that was parked outside their front door.
"Jesus," gasped Johnny, "that's Dr. Steiner's bus."
"Who is Dr. Steiner?" Hetty demanded.
"Hell, he's one of the big shots from head office."
"You're kidding," Hetty challenged him. "Truth," Johnny affirmed, "one of the real big shots."
"Bigger than Mr. Ironsides?"
The general manager of the Sonder Ditch was as high up the social ladder as Hetty had ever looked.
"Oh, tin ribs is chicken feed compared to this joker. Just look at his bus. It's five times better than Tin Ribs' clapped-out old Maserati."
"Gee." Hetty could follow the logic of this line of argument. "What's he want with us?"
"I don't know," Johnny admitted with a twinge of anxiety. "Let's go and find out."
The lounge of the DeLange home was not the setting which showed Dr. Manfred Steiner to best advantage. He sat on the edge of a scarlet and gold plastic-covered armchair, as stiff and awkward as the packs of china dogs that stood on every table and shelf of the show cabinet,
or the porcelain wild ducks which flew in diminishing perspective along the pale pink-painted wall. In contrast to the tinsel Christmas decorations that festooned the ceiling and the gay greeting cards that Hetty had pinned to strips of green ribbon, Manfred's black Homburg and astrakhan-coloured overcoat were unnecessarily severe. "You will forgive my presumption," he greeted them without rising. "You were not at home, and your maid let me in."
"Oh, you're welcome, I'm sure," Hetty simpered.
"Of course you are, Dr. Steiner," Johnny supported her.
"Ah, so you know who I am," Manfred asked with satisfaction. This would make his task much easier.
"Of course we do." Hetty went to him and offered her hand. "I am Hetty DeLange. How do you do?" With horror, Manfred saw that her armpit was unshaven, filled with damp ginger curls. Hetty had not bathed since the previous evening. Manfred's nostrils twitched, and he fought down a queasy wave of nausea.
"DeLange, I want to speak to you alone."
He cowered away from Hetty's overwhelming physical presence.
"Sure."
Johnny was eager to please. "How about you making us some coffee, honey?" he asked Hetty. 10 minutes later, Manfred sank with relief into the lush upholstery of the Daimler's rear seat. He ignored the two DeLanges waving their farewells and closed his eyes. It was done. Tomorrow morning, Johnny DeLange would be on shift and drilling into the glassy green rock of the Big Dipper. By noon, Manfred would own 250,000 shares in the Sonder Ditch. In a week, he would be a rich man. In a month, he would be divorced from Theresa Steiner. He would sue with all possible notoriety on the grounds of adultery. He no longer needed her. The chauffeur drove him back to Johannesburg.